Arrows of Desire, written by Emma Blair and read by Jane McFarlane.
Bring me my bow of burning gold. Bring me my arrows of desire. Jerusalem by William Blake. Chapter 1. Beth frowned, then looked up from her midday meal. "Do you hear something?" she asked after a few seconds. Her brother, Roy, paused with his fork halfway to his mouth.
"Like what?"
Beth shook her head. "It's gone now, but I could have sworn." She trailed off and addressed herself again to her plate. Dinner was mince and potatoes, one of her favourites, except the mince just hadn't had the same taste to it since the war started 18 months ago. It was far more fatty and gristly than it had been. Still, she was thankful the family had it at all, meat being a commodity that was becoming scarcer and scarcer with every passing week.
"I can hear it now, a sort of thumping noise," declared Sissy, Beth and Roy's mother, the third and final person at the table.
Beth was intrigued. Crossing to the window, she raised it and leaned out. The bitter March wind stung her face, while behind her, Roy exclaimed as a draught swirled round the room. There it was again, a thumping noise carried by the wind from what seemed a fair way off. "That's odd," she mused. "It sounded like blasting she'd once heard. Perhaps some old buildings were being blown up."
"Shut that bloody window," Roy complained.
"Come here and see what you make of it," Beth called to him over her shoulder.
"I'm not hanging out of a window like some old gossip,"
Roy retorted. Snorting, he pushed his plate away and began to light a cigarette. Suddenly, a new sound intruded, and the steady drone of a plane's engines filled the room, building up to such an intensity that Sissy, whose hearing had always been acute, was forced to clap her hands over her ears.
"What bloody madman's that?"
Roy shouted angrily, coming to his feet. A few quick strides brought him alongside Beth, and then he too was leaning out of the window. The plane appeared over the surrounding rooftops, so low Beth felt she could have reached up and touched it. Green, with a white underbelly, it roared overhead, while both she and Roy gaped. Then it was gone, the sound of its engines gradually receding. Beth knew now what that far-off thumping noise was. Glasgow was being bombed for the first time ever. Roy pulled himself back into the room to stare at his mother.
"A Jerry, I saw the bastard's markings, plain as day."
Sissy bit her lip.
"They'll be going for the docks."
"Aye, that'll be it right enough,"
Roy muttered thoughtfully.
"What'll we do?"
Sissy asked him. For with her husband Andrew away in the army, Roy was acting head of the family.
"What we've been told to do when this happened, go down to the shelter,"
Roy replied, for the city had long known it would eventually be a bombing target. The only question had been when. Sissy rose from the table and hurried through to the hallway for her coat.
"I'd better get back to the hospital. They might need me," Beth declared.
She was a trainee nurse at the nearby Victoria Infirmary.
"The hell with that," Roy retorted. "You'll take Ma down to the shelter and stay there with her until this raid's over."
"But it's my duty,"
Beth started to say, only to be cut short.
"It's your duty to look after Ma, not to mention staying alive. You'll do as I say, Beth, and no buts about it."
Beth glared at her older brother. It infuriated her when he treated her as a child and not the 19-year-old she was. Sissy hurried back into the room carrying Beth's cape.
"Roy's right. You could well get yourself killed going out in the streets when there's a raid in progress. No one at the hospital would thank you for that, I'm sure."
Grudgingly, Beth acquiesced, knowing them to be right.
Suddenly, the air raid siren burst into life, its ululating wail originating from the local ARP post.
"They're a bit sodden late,"
Roy gave a short, barking laugh.
"Typical.